He emphasized that with the right strategies and leadership, the target is attainable. Prabowo believes that Indonesia's potential for economic growth is significant, and the country is on the right track to reach this goal. And that was Newsline.
From Jakarta, Indonesia, here is Voice of Indonesia with English program, presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id and at RI Digital mobile application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
From Indonesia to the world.
Hello, voice listener and RRNet viewers. Welcome back to Indonesia Today with your host Ray, where I'll be accompanying you for the next 2 hours, providing you with news, information, and also entertainment from Indonesia to the world. And voice listener, in this beautiful day of Friday, as I could say, the start of a weekend, of course, we always have plans prepared, especially if you want to start something new, something fresh, and of course something great. You can always start, especially on the weekend, because so much thing to cool down, and maybe you can just rest, relax, and laid back in your house and just chill. Okay, for our listener, and don't forget that this program can be viewed and broadcast from our online streaming in voinews.id, shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and our application in RRE Digital for those of you who love watching on demand. And so without any further ado, let's begin today's broadcast with a song from Kunto Aji with Rehat. Just like what I said, just chill back, relax, laid back, and enjoy this broadcast.
Takkan terjadi. We'll be right back. a mesmerizing getaway. A holy sanctuary. A captivating culture. Sublimely sacred. Yet also excitingly profane. The ultimate paradise. A luxurious escapade. Here you have some of the hippest spots on the planet. Release your inhibitions for an adventure of a lifetime. Whether you fancy the beach or golf, just love food served exotically. Or adrenaline rushes. Enjoy oases of tranquility. Where pampering is art perfected. Mysteriously festive. Tourism with its own history. Branded hospitality. The ultimate travel destination and more. Bali. Wonderful.
Indonesia.
lagi terbuka lebar untuk cinta.
Digital with New Look.
Programa en español.
RRI Digital. Available on Google Store and App Store. RRI Digital.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listeners and viewers of Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, the religious harmony is one thing that very important for the life of the Indonesian people, and even in international life. And today here in our studio, we have Bapa Adib Abdul Somad, or better known as Gus Adib.
Thank you so much.
How are you?
Thank you so much. I'm fine, thank you. Yourself?
I'm good.
Yeah. Wish you all the best.
Yeah, all the best. Okay, and then today we are going to talk about the religious harmony, but before that, I would like to introduce you, Gus Abdul Adib.
Yeah, Gus Adib.
He's at the forefront of efforts to strengthen interreligious tolerance in Indonesia. This is a hard work, actually.
Well, for sure, but if we love our job, then everything will be easy, for sure.
We are more
love your job, do what you love.
Yes. We are more than 280 million people and 5 or 6 different religions.
Oh, yeah, for
religions
sure.
Here, right? A nation that celebrates its diversity, and today our dialogue will be themed fostering harmony in diversity through interfaith dialogue.
Okay.
And I would like to know first, Gus Adib.
Yep.
So, what is actually the significance of
World Religious Freedom Day mm-hmm. that we are celebrating for today,
mm-hmm.
for the Center of Religious Harmony here in Indonesia, mm-hmm. and how does mm-hmm. it align with Indonesia's commitments to fostering interreligious tolerance?
Okay, thank you, Pak Pane. World Religious Freedom Day serves as a reminder for our shared responsibility to uphold freedom of belief and respect of diversity. And for the Center of Religious Harmony mm-hmm. Within the Ministry of Religious Affairs, this day, this is underscore our missions to promote mutual understanding and peace among Indonesian diverse religious communities.
Mm-hmm.
So it aligns with Pancasila actually, because Pancasila, the foundational our ideology,
yes.
Promote and also strengthen the term so-called as Bhinneka Tunggal Ika. Through dialogue, education, and policy development, we will always continue Indonesia's commitment to foster harmonies and also strengthening religious mm-hmm. harmony in Indonesia and for the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of my mission at the Center for Religious Harmony, we are going to bring PKUB, so-called PKUB Go International. What does it mean? It means we are going to bring Indonesia as the reference and destination for the world in terms of religious harmony. So, Indonesia is an example, Pak Pane, for religious harmony for the world.
Mm-hmm.
We can see in so many regions in Indonesia, such as in Bali, in Magelang, in Klaten, in which the practical for religious harmony can be seen through the people over there. So we are going to bring Indonesia for around the globe to see the practice of religious harmony in Indonesia, because now Indonesia is the center for religious harmony. That's the mission, and it's also relevant to our presidential Astacita number 8 about the harmony and also religious harmony and also maintaining peace in the world.
Yes. That's a good job and yep. challenging, of course.
For sure.
Yes. We know, Gus Adib, that yep. Indonesia now on the rank, not rank actually, rising scores is from 73.09 in 2022 to 76.47 actually in 2004.
Oh yeah, that's correct.
About the harmony index.
Yeah, yeah.
So how this could, you know, 73 to 76, I think it's a very big leap.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the improvement of the Religious Harmony Index, this is conducted by one of the institution within the Ministry of Religious Affairs, so-called Badan Diklat, yeah, reflect concrete effort by the government, especially the strengthening of the presidential regulation number 58/2023 mm-hmm. that Indonesian government seriously, you know, even provide religious moderation, so-called MB, moderasi beragama,
mm-hmm.
as the policy for Indonesia, and there are so many key factors that make the improvement of the Religious Harmony Index. And one of the factors, I guess, as you mentioned earlier, about the strengthening interfaith dialogue, both national and local and even more international. Last year we visited Serbia. We also participate interfaith dialogue between Indonesia and Serbia, and they really try to learn how Indonesia able to protect diversity, mm-hmm. United in diversity. They learn from us how Pancasila ideology can unite us, you know, mm-hmm. things like that. And incorporating religious harmony education in schools. That's also makes the Religious Harmony Index improve. And promoting public awareness campaign about the importance of tolerance and enhancing law enforcement to address hate speech. And this is important part. Hate speech and hoax, yeah. Through social media,
mm-hmm.
of course, a challenge remain such as addressing regional disparities in harmony, combating hoax misinformation, and fostering inclusivity. for indigenous and minority beliefs. There are still so many challenges, but we do believe through dialogue and also strengthening literacy through the media, we will be able to educate people to think about how important is actually a peace and religious harmony.
Yes, how important is peace and harmony.
Yeah.
And you say that this is your task is to build harmony
for sure.
Among the people. So, could you elaborate on strategic policies and operational plans formulated by the center for religious harmony to promote tolerance and also understanding among religious communities? Because as I mentioned before, that we have here in Indonesia 5 to 6 different religions.
Yep, we also. Besides, that's the most important is policy, actually. How Indonesian governments seriously support religious harmony exists through some policies.
Mm-hmm.
And our policy focus on proactive and inclusive measures, such as establishing local interfaith forum, so-called as Forum Kerukunan Umat Beragama. So we provide Forum Kerukunan Umat Beragama every province and also city, we call it the kabupaten or kota. There are 512 local interfaith forum or FKOB at the kabupaten and kota, and 34 province, and even more. We are preparing for presidential regulation or progress of PKOB, which is protecting of religious harmony, and the draft is already at the Secretariat of State, and hopefully this month or maybe next month, I strongly believe it will be signed by the president. And if this regulation signed by the president, so there will be a national interfaith forum, so-called as Forum Kerukunan Umat Beragama National. So this is reflect how Indonesian government pay attention a lot through the policy to strengthen, the policies, and organizing interfaith workshop. Yeah, so this is what we have done so far, and as I mentioned earlier, and strengthening community resilience against decisive narrative through education and awareness campaign, and providing platform of youth engagement, such as I mentioned earlier before we entering to this forum, that I invite young generation and also influencers, artists, Gen Z generations to come to visit my office at the Center for Religious Harmony to have a podcast like this.
Yeah.
And I ask them, what is your contributions to create peaceful in Indonesia and also for the world? Mm-hmm. And we are going to see harmony, religious harmony, from their perspective, because there are so many young generation at the moment, and that's the one of the strategies. And lucky last is the providing platform for and also some initiative collaborate with others institutions. So we work across boundaries, Pak Bhanesh, because thinking about religious harmony, it is not, can be done alone by the Center for Religious Harmony, but only by the Ministry of Religious Affairs. But we have to work across boundaries. We have to work together to make Indonesia as a reference and destination for the world in terms of religious harmony.
Yeah, one thing, as you mentioned, there are 512, of interfaith forum local.
Yes.
And hopefully there will be national.
National.
After the president signs.
Signed, yes.
My question is, who are the members of this forum? Are they all represented by all religions
or only several religions?
Yep.
Very smart question. So this is the regulation still central, but if I can tell you in this forum that the National Religious Interfaith Forum will be consist nine peoples, and for the provincial level it will be consist 9 and 11.
11.
And then for the local. Consist
district, city,
district, yes, yeah, okay. It will be consist 13
members. Okay.
And for the nine, for the national, it will be consist representative from diverse religion, I guess, in Indonesia. Also considering their expert, and also we call it a tokoh agama.
Okay.
Expert. Scholars, who has a lot of experience about interfaith dialogue, mm-hmm. and they have a lot of reference, I guess. Mm-hmm. But it will be regulated after. Presidents regulation signed by the president, mm-hmm. and there will be the regulation under the ministry level.
Mm-hmm.
So because the president regulations is too general, then there will be like interpretation through the ministry level on how to decide the nine members of the national.
I see. Good. Thank you, Ms. Adib. Yep. So my next question is, how does the center develop norms, standards, also procedures, and so criteria to ensure consistent implementation of inter-religious harmony initiatives across Indonesia? Because there should be, oversight. Yeah? Mm-hmm. There should be a norm for that.
Yep, of course. But we the center for religious harmony adopts a participatory approach. So basically, we encourage a bottom-up approach,
uh-huh.
involving stakeholders, and from various religious communities, academic institution, and policy experts. Mm-hmm. And some key steps include, I guess, the first thing is establishing standards guidelines for interfaith forum, mm-hmm. and activities. So we create so-called as TSK.
What is that?
TSK means Harmony Village, Desa Sadar Kerukunan, a village that aware about the importance of harmony, and we have a guideline for this, the norm for that one. We call it Juknis in Bahasa Indonesia, the Juknis for village, Harmony Village.
Mm-hmm.
And we even provide them like awards. At the end of the years, we provide Harmony Award, mm-hmm. and those location who able to to show themselves as a location that able to promote religious harmonies, mm-hmm. We will provide them awards at the end of this year, and usually November or December we provide recognition, mm-hmm. for those activists or for those local leaders at the district or province. Mm-hmm. Who care, who really, contribute, to strengthen religious harmony, we provide awards. Mm-hmm. And regularly reviewing and updating policies to reflect evolving social needs. Mm-hmm. So every single policy we review. because maybe this year relevant, next year maybe not relevant, so we evaluate like the strategy. Today our strategy, we invite a lot of Gen Z generation,
okay,
because those Gen Z most 60% become leaders.
Mm.
Look, our vice president, young generation.
Yes.
So we have to involve and invite them to talk about, you know, the importance of religious harmony, how importance of religious harmony and peace in Indonesia. We cannot even build, develop our country if there is no peace. Look at the other countries who are in conflict, you know, tension or war, each other's no good. Yeah? And conducting training program for local leaders and government officials, that's what we are doing at the moment, and even we are going to improve the quality of our training. And of course, monitoring and evaluating initiative. So, the other thing that I would like to emphasize, we also provide and already develop 7 roadmaps of PKOB, so-called Peta Jalan PKOB.
Mm.
So the 7th roadmap of the Center for Religious Harmony in order to reach PKOB Go International, as I mentioned earlier.
Okay.
And there are 7 steps, and one of the strategy is that strengthening regulation, participating in interfaith nationally in and also internationally. And I can tell you, this year we are going to provide Indonesia interfaith scholarship. So we are going to invite those people from Europe, from Middle East, to come to visit Indonesia. Look how harmony Indonesia. They visit Yogyakarta, they visit maybe or other location, in which there, as I told you before about the village harmony or DSK, the village that aware about harmony. We bring them to that location and see how Indonesian people, even though different religion, they work together, things like that. So we are going to make those delegation from Europe, Middle East, back to their countries. They tell a good thing about
maybe even it is not small, I mean it is not big, but we can find in our daily life about so in addressing issues related to indigenous beliefs. Inclusivity of these communities.
Yep. The center recognizes for sure the importance of acknowledging and respect indigenous belief, called kepercayaan singkatan. And some key approach that we have done so far include collaborating with indigenous leaders to understand their perspective and needs. So what we are doing at the moment, to see the truth through the eyes of another. So we try to see their perspective through their own views, not us. So this forum, we always emphasize and provide that kind of discussion. And also we incorporating indigenous wisdom and practice into broader interfaith initiative, advocating for legal recognition and protection of indigenous belief systems, and providing platform for indigenous communities to share their cultural and spiritual contribution, fostering mutual appreciation and understanding. Maybe 2 weeks ago, I invite those indigenous from Palangkaraya,
Dayak,
and from here, Sundanese. Mm-hmm. So I try to see the truth from their perspective because I want to know, from their views, you know.
Yes.
And this dialogue is important because the closest thing we can get the truth is through dialogue.
Mm-hmm. Good. Okay. And still related to the previous questions, Gus Adif, so preventing and addressing conflicts among religious communities is a critical aspect while we are talking about harmony. So could you share some of the center's most effective programs or studies in this regard?
Yeah. If I can tell you, now we are still preparing so-called EWS.
What is that?
EWS. Means the early warning system programs. Yeah.
Okay.
So we consider some of our most effective strategies include EWS. Yeah. Conflict prevention. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So establishing early warning system through interfaith forums. So we involve them like the FKOB, both in district, in province. Yeah. And also. Remember, we are under the Ministry of Religious Affairs. We have networking within the Ministries of Religious Affairs at the district level, at the provincial level, and also we train them about the early warning system as well. And we also provide mediation. So we train the local leader within Forum Kerukunan Umat Beragama. From the district level, province level, we provide them training program about mediation center after conflict. So we give them a skills how to mediate conflicts.
Yes,
yeah.
Okay.
We provide that kind of training as well. And this year already finished. We provide more EWS training program this year rather than mediation.
Okay.
Because, you know, conflict prevention is much more important.
Yes.
Yeah. Rather than the conflict exists and then how do we have to meet it? Yeah, fix that, you know.
Okay.
And community engagement. This is the thing that we are also our strategies and media literacy, as I mentioned earlier, but how important is, you know, media literacy today because of many misinformation, hoax, you know, things like that. So we have to, especially young generations, again, because their daily life almost never, you know, never cannot be separated with the gadget. You know, for young generation, even people just like us, you know, when we wake up, what we are going to find out? Our handphone, you know. We are a generation that very addicted through the gadget. So the gadget provides a lot of information and media, and that's why we have to provide digital literacy for them to select which one is the correct information, which one is hoax, things like that. And we have to be careful also to refer a certain, you know, information.
Yeah,
because there are so many information these days, at the media.
Yeah. Yes, that's true, Gus Adif. Now, again, with the rise of global interconnectivity, so how does the center adapt with technical guidance and also evaluation process to meet contemporary challenges in religious harmony, such as misinformation or radicalism, as you mentioned, just raised to social media.
As I mentioned earlier, Pak, so we are going to even strengthening the early warning system detection program, hopefully, and this is our priority program this year. And we are going to developing. We did already developing online training modules on interfaith dialogue and tolerance, and partnering with tech companies. So we collaborate with you know, IT expert like you know, Google's things like that, in order to also let's contribute to peace together through you know, providing you know, good information through our society, and incorporating data analytics into our evaluation process to measure the impact of our program and identify areas for the improvement. So after we did our program of EWS and other things, then we also try to evaluate, and I guess adaptability and innovation are crucial in addressing the complexities of a connect world, because this is a global citizenship.
Yes.
Everything happening outside there, you know, even in Palestine, in, you know, Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
What's happening over there? Directly we got the information. Yes. So we have to have a direct response. That's why early warning system is very, very important today.
Okay. Yes, Gusadip, actually there are some more things that we would like to discuss, but it seems that we are coming to the end of this conversation. So finally, what message would you like to convey to Indonesians? Because Voice of Indonesia can be listened here nationally in Indonesia, and also can be listened in,
around the globe.
Around the globe.
Mashallah.
So what is your message to the Indonesians and so international community on the occasion of this World Religious Freedom Day, and how can we tell all contribute to a more harmonious, tolerant society? Please.
Okay. On this World Religious Freedom Day, I urge everyone to embrace the value of empathy, respect and understanding. Harmony and diversity is not just a national aspiration, it is a universal necessity. To Indonesian society, especially, I encourage continued pride in our cultural and religious pluralism through our ideology Pancasila. I was visited again Serbia, that was last year, 2024 November. Yeah, I got the story. This is very inspiring story, Pak.
What's that?
I got the story. Actually, Pak, our president, former president Sukarno, met the Yugoslavia president.
Oh yes.
Did you remember his name? Tito.
Tito. Yeah, yes. Tito.
And those two leaders, you know, they discussed just like us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the Tito taught our president Sukarno. I got, you know, very modern tools of military, you know. I got a lot of soldiers, you know, and I do believe that that's going to protect our country, Yugoslavia. And what is your legacy if you no longer become the president?
Yes, yes.
So, Prof. Tito said to President Sukarno. And our President Sukarno, former President Sukarno said, okay, I will, you know, my legacy for the Indonesian society is I will give them Pancasila as our ideology.
Wow.
And look what happening to Yugoslavia. They got everything, good military, with the modern technology, but they separate each other. So we are so lucky, you know. To the international communities, again, back to this message, let us collaborate to create a world where diversity is celebrated. As a strength, not a division. Again, as a strength, not a division. Okay. So together, through dialogue, education, and action, we can build a more harmonious and tolerant society for future generations. And let's contributing to peace together.
Yes.
That's the most important part. Again, I would like to say, harmony and peace is the most important thing that we have to, you know, protect for us Indonesia, also for the world. Because we live in this world only for once. So what is our life dedication? What is our legacy for our life? Let's create peace and harmony together. That's it.
Exactly. 100% true. Well, listeners and also viewers of Voice of Indonesia, that brings us to the end of this wonderful,
very
important insight that we get from Gus Adib or Adib Abdussamad on a fostering harmony in diversity through interfaith dialogue. Mm-hmm. It is not only for Indonesians, but also for the global
village. For the world,
For the world.
Yeah.
And so we know that his dedication to bring the gaps and nurturing understanding among communities is truly inspiring. Mm-hmm. So I hope that what we are talking in this this interview will, you know, give us insight that, as he mentioned, that it is very important to maintain peace
and harmony. And let's contributing to peace together.
And let's contributing to peace and harmony together.
Together.
I'm Dolan Pane, and see you next time.
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you for joining us on Indonesia Today, only on
VOI and RRINN. Here's Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headline. School lunch processing standards tightened to prevent food poisoning. Import ban decision for four food commodities based on production. And now the news in details. Presidential Communication Office Chief Hasan Nasbi assured that the National Nutrition Agency will strengthen its standard procedure for the free nutritious meal program to mitigate the risk of food poisoning in schools. During his visit here on Friday, Nasbi stated that food poisoning affecting pupils in Duku 03 State Primary School in Cukaharjo, Central Java on Thursday was an isolated case and an authority has taken necessary measures to probe its cause. He remarked that the nutrition agency will evaluate the current food hygiene and cleanliness standards to ensure food safety for consumption. Moving on to the second news. The government decision to ban imports of four food commodities was taken in light of a projected increase in production this year. According to an official from the National Food Agency, Indra Wijayanto, the four commodities affected by this ban are rice, table salt, table sugar, and corn for livestock feed. Wijayanto stated when contacted from here on Friday that the final rice stock for 2024 in the food balance projection was recorded at 8.1 million tons. This figure includes the government rice reserves of around 2 million tons stored in the warehouse.